Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley, with special guest, Robert Appel. Tonight, we've got a special rebroadcast from June 4th, 2022. We'll be right back after this message. Why should you join us in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th? Just listen to a couple of HOPE Conference attendees.
Thank you, Douglas, for the conference, the HOPE Conference. It was amazing. I learned so much. This HOPE Conference really culminated in everything I needed to really hone in on, and I know what my life purpose is, and I really thank all of you, every one of you.
Hi, Douglas. I want to thank you for having this conference here. I learned a lot, especially about dreams. I definitely plan on taking your advice, writing down all my dreams. All your staff was very helpful, very friendly, and I'm looking forward to the next conference. We'll see what happens. Thank you very much.
During this impactful three-day conference, you'll be guided through a series of sessions including dream interpretation and future predictions, the great shift, the increasing sense of impending changes and human transformation, virtue spirit healing, the power of auras, chakras, and creating an open mind to your spiritual gifts, plus additional guest speakers and guided meditation. Go now to hopeconferences.org, that's hopeconferences.org, for your ticket and a don't miss event. And we'll see you in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Tonight, we've got a special treat. Join us for a rebroadcast of our riveting June 4th, 2022 episode of The Global Village on Blog Talk Radio as Dr. Douglas James Cottrell delves into the complexities of our current era, shedding light on his earlier predictions about Earth changes, global events, and the conflict in Ukraine. In these challenging times marked by significant stress and uncertainty, it's essential to stay informed. This show invites us to critically evaluate the news we consume and urges us to engage in open-minded discussions rather than enforcing our views on others. The most profound message of this broadcast, however, is one of unity and hope. Amidst the turmoil and turbulence, Dr. Cottrell, Doug Bentley, and Robert Appel remind us you're not alone. We're not taking phone calls tonight, but we urge you to listen to this important show. Now, here's your Global Village radio show host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And welcome to the show. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell. It is June the 3rd, 2022. And once again, my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, joins me tonight along with our equally good friend and special guest, Robert Appel. Tonight, we're going to take a look ahead and we're going to forecast what I am seeing for the world in this time of extremes. You know, where is the world going is the theme tonight. As we have addressed these issues many times over the last several shows, this now seems to be a time where there's a convergence of many extreme situations happening. And I know many of you are concerned, you're frightened, you're in disbelief, or perhaps you're provoked to anger and you're looking to take it out on somebody, or perhaps you just want to throw your hands up and say, let me get off this planet. Well, we're going to encourage you to stay here, because these times that we're going through right now, you might call them the end times, you might call them a renovation time, you might call them a time of extremes, they were predicted by my mentor, Ross Peterson, in 1974. I have made similar predictions over the years, and we put a book out called The New Earth, and prior to that, it was 2012 and beyond. The New Earth was an expanded version of that particular book and had many more research questions, of which Robert had participated in some of those research sessions looking forward. And we wrote the book. We published it in 2011. So those things that we've looked at back then are in the news today. And they will continue to be in the news. And, of course, now more and more people are becoming concerned with the possibility of the world flipping on its axis, the world flooding, the coastal plains and areas being submerged, the earthquakes and the volcano and the volcanic activity and possible nuclear explosion in Europe, which several of us, Doug Bentley has seen it, I have forecasted in this show and others, Coast to Coast and Strange Planet, the radio show is pretty popular, I've been on, and we have foreseeing these events. Now, foreseeing them is one thing. And when somebody says something that's not really within the average norm of things, there's a tendency to be a little skeptical, and should be, and also the idea of a little bit of disbelief. But over the years, our track record is pretty high in making predictions. Sometimes they don't come true in the exact time, but they do come true over time. And that is something we can talk about. But tonight, there's a lot of people in the queue tonight. We're going to go, after a short discussion, we're going to go right to the phone lines. We want you to stay on subject tonight, and we'll talk about this time that is uncertain. This is a time of extremes. And, you know, we're trying to find our way, all of us. And if we stick together, that's my cliche, I guess you could say, if we stick together, if we hold on to each other real tight, we're going to find our inner way. And that inner way is going to help us get through this. The number to call is 718-766-4421. We'll be right back after a short message. And remember, my friends, this show is forward-looking. We may say things that are offensive to some, that are outrageous to others, and you may have questions and comments that are sort of unusual, but this is the forum where you can say whatever you like without being insulting and rude, of course, and give us your opinion, give us your dream. Have you had a vision of the future? What do you suspect is going to happen, or what do you want to know? Robert has a great knowledge on many subjects. My good friend and co-host Doug Bentley has a wide variety as a retired educator, and we're here tonight looking through that window of intuition to see where is the world going now. Every day, every week, it seems to be a surprise, a tragedy, a change that's unexpected. We'll be right back after the short break.
Are you ready to experience life-changing wisdom, spiritual insights, and transformative knowledge? Come to the next Hope Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th at the Holiday Inn Suites Phoenix Airport North, with special conference rates for attendees. Go right now to hopeconferences.org for all the details. Powerful healing techniques and spiritual guidance for your personal growth. Interactive questions and answers with Douglas James Cottrell and other experts. Insights into coming global events and predictions through a spiritual lens. The Hope Conference brings together like-minded people to provide them with the tools they need to unlock their full potential. Come to the Hope Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th. Go now to hopeconferences.org. That's hopeconferences.org for all the details. Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up podcast exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to douglasjamescottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice. Welcome back. Tonight, a special encore edition of The Global Village from June 4th, 2022, with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host Doug Bentley with special guest Robert Appel, discussing predictions in a time of extremes. Now, once again, here's your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome back. Thank you for allowing us to come into your living rooms tonight as we broadcast the Global Village radio show worldwide. For you, those of you who are in your own time zone, you're listening this tomorrow in the archive version, we thank you for your emails. And again, the email address is info@douglasjamescottrell.com. We thank you for your comments and how meaningful the show has been. For those who I've spoken to personally, I thank you for your compliments. We will try to do our utmost best to keep you informed from our special source. Welcome to the show, Doug. It's good to have you back here as my co-host tonight. It's been a wild and wacky week once again. How are you holding up under this a range of cosmic interference, so we call it that? How are you doing tonight, Doug? Well, I know how Doug is doing. I know how Robert is doing, too. I better
you
turn on the microphones once again. There we go, Doug. Sorry. The show shuts you off automatically. I don't know what it is. Anyway, welcome to the show, Doug. Good to have you back. How are
Thank
you tonight?
I'm doing well, and as I was just saying, maybe wild and wacky, but man has a capacity to get used to anything, everything.
This is true, is it not? And along with getting used with everything, there's that spirit of forgetfulness. You know, the public
yes.
memory seems to get, I don't know, condensed. And it's amazing how people forget just what happened last week. I know it was outrageous. And the week before that, well, that's ancient history. But you're right, Doug. Good to have you back on the show tonight. We're looking forward to having another conversation with our good friend Robert Appel, who is standing by. We never know where we're going to go with Robert. He's all over the place, but so are we. And we manage to keep up with him, don't we, Doug?
Well, we make every effort to do so.
Robert is our good friend. He's a knowledgeable man. He's a special guest, and we have a lot of people out there who are listening in Radio Land who love to have him on the show with us. So I'm going to say welcome to the show, Robert. I got your microphone on. It's good to have you back here, my friend. How have you been this week?
Hi, guys. While you two were gabbing, I got an email from the music department, the hardworking music department that you never mentioned, and they sent me the clip they're working on to replace the sort of upbeat music we've been using. I'll just show you what they sent me. So that's what we're going to be looking at for 2023 as our new theme music.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to debate that. We have several people standing in the queue here, and, we have the 312, the 850-773 area code, the 410-757 again, the 817, the 972, the 818. The number to call is 718-766-4421. I hope everybody who's listening tonight, keep an ear in for my microphone. We have it reset. And for those of you who have mentioned that there's been some irregularities between the volume of our commercial breaks and our volume, this is to your credit. We've taken some initiatives tonight, and we hope that this really expensive equipment performs as it should. But anyway, back to the show. So this is a time where we have spoken many times about these earth changes happening. Robert and I have been on some pretty big radio shows. We've been on my radio show, the Global Village, many times, and Doug has joined us in several of these shows. And some of the things we've said, we've seen, we've witnessed, some of the questions we've taken from people, and some of the answers, you know, looking forward from the time we were speaking of these uncertain times, there's a surreal kind of a denial that, you know, somewhere, somehow in the future, these things are going to happen. But here they are. They're happening now. This is a time that is keeping everybody a little wobbly. And again, my friends, there's just now a huge interest in mental health, emotional health, and this time of uncertainty and chaos that's coming upon us. How can we solve these issues? What is it that we need to do? Where can we go? Well, I'm going to try to do that. That is to say, answer those questions best I can. Call in and ask me how you're feeling or what's going on, and I'll give you an intuitive sort of reading or answer to your question geared to you, but for the betterment of all. We want more generic questions, remember, not specific ones, but again, a few more people are joining in the queue here, and so we're going to get to it. But as an overview, Robert, I mean, we've spoken the last two or three weeks. In a review, what would, you know, I'm going to ask you to sort of sum up what you think the flavor has been, and you know, as we head into the forecast where we're going to go in this time of extremes, you've mentioned cycles and other people. Right now, not to put you on the spot or anything like that, but as our audience would be listening, what's your take on how we can go from here to where we're going and sort of keep that integrity, keep that mutual support going?
The first point, which thankfully you made already, is that you have to stop being in denial that there's something going on. Every human being has a bias toward, it's called a normalcy bias. You, deep down, we all want everything to continue tomorrow like it did yesterday. It's just the way we're built. It's our genetics. It's the whole way we are. We're also mimics, by the way. That's another thing about human beings that we don't talk about much, but this is something that's used to often control us, but that's not the topic for tonight's show. So you have to, first of all, acknowledge something is happening, which you did. And people who don't acknowledge that, and there's a good bunch of them, oh, everything's fine, it's all nonsense, you're all conspiracy theorists, it's not going to cut it. Really, you're not, you know, the old saying, if you're not part of the solution, you're sort of part of the problem. So those people, and I respect their right to, you know, stick their head in the sand, but it's not going to work this time. I'll tell you that right up front. Once you acknowledge there's something going on, the issue becomes what exactly is going on. And my take, and it's not going to be as comforting as people would like. Everybody wants to hear, oh, this is just a trend, or it's just going to be a year or so, and it's one of those crazy things, and we'll forget about it tomorrow. No, I don't think so. If you look at the number of prophets, cultures, religions, indigenous predictions, if you look at all the data and all the energy surrounding the 2012 shift, which Doug has covered many, many times, but people have another habit of human nature. We only hear what we want to hear. Doug has found over the years with his readings that people go to a lot of time and trouble and expense to get those readings, and yet when they hear them the first time, they don't quite hear all of them. And a year later, they play the same tape or listen to the same file, and suddenly they hear all kinds of things they missed. So these are all aspects of human nature. We hear what we want to hear. The 2012 phenomenon, which was predicted with the Maya thousands of years ago, with other cultures also thousands of years ago, that's not a passing fad. That's not a one-day thing. It's not like midnight 2012. That's a multi-year, multi-decade, maybe a century or two. It's a process of transition. And the good news is when the transition takes place, the world, the earth, will be renewed. Mankind, those that survive, will be renewed. Your great-great-great-grandchildren will be living in a much, much better place. The bad news is that we're here now.
Yeah.
Our main concern is how we get, as Doug put it so nicely, from here to there. And the process looks a little bit tricky and a little bit complicated. There appear to be groups out there. A lot of the what has to be acknowledged is you have to be look at what's happening around you, and as you pointed out and as I'm pointing out, you have to pay attention to it. And we don't do that. That's a lot of what we're picking up in the news. We're not listening to because it's uncomfortable. Normalcy bias, once again. If you don't like the news, this is totally normal. I mean, this is what people do. They'll keep switching channels till they find a news service that kind of caters to what they want to hear. They're not going to go back to the news service that didn't tell them what they wanted to hear because that made them uncomfortable. We like to be comfortable. We're a comfortable people. Mm-hmm. We seek comfort. But there's stuff going on out there. It looks to me like we have competing groups, both of which are trying to destroy everything so they can rebuild things, but not necessarily in a way that we agree with or want to. The slogan of the group out of Davos, Switzerland, which you can read about if you just get off the mainstream media, there's tons of stuff online about them. This is also the group known as the World Economic Forum. They started in 2014 a multi-million-dollar campaign of announcing how their plans for mankind, I don't mean for a local area or one country or for the graduates in their group, but for the entire planet, they started announcing in 2014, 2015 with commercials and the whole thing, where the planet would be by 2030. And these are not ordinary people. These are the 1% of 1% who own everything. Now that sounds like an exaggeration. It sounds like Robert's gone nuts. How can 1% of 1% own everything? Well, in fact, if you dig down and do the research, that's true. They own the banks. They own the drug companies. They do this through ETFs mm-hmm. and other derivative instruments, which allow a very, very small group. Anybody that's done finance or corporate law or taken a course at university, you know that a corporation, for all its size, can be controlled by a very small group if they have what's called a controlling interest. You don't have to have even 50%. A small group can control a larger entity. This 1% of 1% basically owns everything worth owning. It shouldn't be that way. I don't think it should, but it is. That's the way it is. So the amount of money they've been putting into their program is quite extraordinary. Their slogan for what they're doing, this is one of the groups that is competing to rearrange the planet. The slogan for what they're doing, which, again, this is public information. I'm not quoting conspiracy theories. I'm not digging out special sources. This is all on the web. You can find their commercials going back 10 years, is Build Back Better. And that's coincidentally, just a coincidence, of course, the exact same slogan that Joe Biden campaigned on for president, the exact same slogan that Justin Trudeau campaigned on for prime minister. Of course, both these individuals are working with this organization. Nobody in all the time that this has been going on has ever tried to cipher the meaning of that slogan. What does it mean, build back better? Build back better, and you're not going to find this anywhere else, because even though it's three words, nobody wants to tell you what it means. The only way you can build back better is first you have to destroy whatever's out there. So the Build Back Better program, which is, if you take the time to read the millions of words they published and the PDF files and all the commercials and so on, they basically want to eliminate or reduce everything on the planet to nothing so they can introduce all kinds of new systems. So here you have an example of one group, of many, by the way, one group that's trying to rearrange the planet to its liking. There are other groups trying to do the same thing. The point I'm making, I'm not trying to demonize mm-hmm. these people or say they're bad people. The point I'm making is you as a human being on the planet right now have a duty to yourself and to your family to at least be alert to the fact that somebody out there is trying to change your life radically. And you need to know who they are and what they're doing. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying good, bad, what you can do about it. I'm just saying be alert. I've had this conversation with neighbors and friends and relatives and all kinds of people. And at the end of the day, what it comes down to is even an animal, like a dog or a cat, can walk into a room and will instinctively know who loves it and who's trying to get it. And the average human being that I talk to does not have that instinct anymore. They seem to have lost it. So the first step you have to take to understanding what's going on and where this planet is going is to try and determine when you walk into a room or into a country or into a situation, who loves you and who's trying to stick it to you.
Okay.
And that's the first step to take.
Oh, there you go. There you go, Doug. Robert's solution is you have to know who loves you. You know, this is not a bad thing, Robert. The problem is everybody's throwing their hands up right now, and you're right, there's so many self-interest groups. There's so many people trying to gain control, so many people making money from misfortune and misinformation. and scare tactics and you name it, that the question I get most often, Robert, is I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to believe. And so as we go through the process of trying to find out, as you're suggesting, who loves you and who's telling you the truth, this is where it gets awful foggy and people are having great difficulty. They're bombarded with misinformation, different information, conflicting information. And everybody, of course, theirs is the truth. Their way is the right way. And I believe that there are forces out there that are manipulating people, that are showing, you know, sending out information that's keeping everybody imbalanced. And we don't really know where to go. So I guess, Robert, not a bad thing. Find out who loves you and then make sure they genuinely love you and are not just kind of like flattering you or taking you into the fold. But it is confusing. There's more power, more concentrated effort and power, I think, in small hands or small groups of hands that can affect the whole planet at the same time. Never before in my life or any time I can think of has there been such power. This internet communication, these groups that are around the world, they're affecting us in such a way that it's causing the issues, causing the problems, and people are buying into it, and the hate people and the supremacist people and the people who are in great difficulty and people who are starving and the warfare that's going on. Right now, this moment, the war in Ukraine is still going on. There are people dying by the minute. And it's kind of like we're now on the back burner and other things are happening. I mean, in the world, and we're not talking about the civil unrest and the tragedies that are going on, but all around the world at the same time. So here we are on the show tonight, my friends. We're asking you to call in 718-766-4421. Tell us your issue and we'll try to find a solution for you, because every solution is an individual one. An individual one. You have to find a way. You have to find out who loves you. You have to find out what the truth is. But I know it's overwhelming and you need some guidance, and that's what we're here to do. We could be right. We could be wrong. But I'm going to tell you some of the things that we've seen coming up in the last week or two, some of the, I guess you could say, revelation visions I've had. I've had a couple. We're going to talk about them in a little bit. But as we continue on now, and we're going to go to the phones and see what you've got to say, we're going to go to the 850, the 773, the 310, 410, 757, 818, and 401, et cetera. Where are you? Where do you think you're going? What do you want to know? What's your issue? And we'll try to find a way that maybe can help you sort things out. But most importantly, take away from the show tonight, you are not alone. These images of what's going on now have been foreseen by many people. I have put them in a book called The New Earth, and there are other people who have made astounding, I guess you could say, prophecies that are coming true, and there are people who have been, with their eye on the ball, have been able to foresee events happening in the world. And that means that if they've been foreseen, then they're coming, they're supposed to be here. What is the reason? What is the lesson? What's going on beyond this? Because as a spiritual-minded person, there is always a benefit. There is always a purpose. This is not a willy-nilly, by-chance world we live in. Nope. I can say that because I foresee the future many times, and I have made such visions available on this show and others, and now they're here. You know, we talked about some time ago, a long time ago, that the crown will be passed in England, the crown would be passed, the Queen Elizabeth would pass the crown this year. Pass it. Okay, that was a term that came out, and I made that prediction on Strange Planet as well, and here, even coast to coast maybe. And here we are with the 70 years of rule in the UK by Queen Elizabeth II, an amazing accomplishment. This woman has been reigning as queen for almost as long as I've been alive. That's an amazing achievement, and the world is full of achievements like that. We have to look for them, but the world is not falling apart. It's being manipulated a little. It's being altered a little. It's under a time of renovation. We can get through this. Take away from this show tonight. You're not alone. These things that are happening have been foreseen, and therefore they're here now. And as they have been foreseen, they're supposed to be here. This is not by chance. What we do about it and how we get together and come together, this is important. We have a class on Wednesday nights. You can go to the International School of the Prophets.com and sign up for our Zoom meetings. We have a class on events. It's called The Search for God. And we talk about such things and how people can develop their intuitive abilities and skills that they can see the future, be aware, and be more in tune with what's going on. It's a class that's free. It's on Zoom. I encourage you to go there if you're looking for more information on in this regard. And also we have a church service on Sundays. If you're interested in virtue healing and getting together with a group of like-minded people from all across the world. We have an international group of people, and mostly the people are in the same time zone as we are, that is to say in the Western world. But there are people who join in from Australia to Spain and all parts in between as well across the U.S. and Canada. So that's an alternative that we're working on to help you, my friends, find some peace, find some resolution as to what's going on in your life. And here tonight's the same thing. Robert has a lot of information. He has enormous amounts of information. Doug Bentley has enormous amounts of information and insight. And I'm giving you my impressions tonight. The number to call is 718-766-4421. Let's hit the phones. And again, let's try to be on topic tonight, my friends, as we go to the 850 area code and say, hello, you're on the air. Have your name and location.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Michelle. It's Michelle. I'm calling from Florida.
Hi, Estelle. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Normally, I always stay on subject, but I guess I have a personal question of what do you see the outcome on how to fix my back?
That's kind of like that's kind of off topic a little bit. I see that you need somebody who's grabbing you. They're twisting you around like a pretzel, and they're pulling on you. I would think you're going to need some sort of aggressive massage or chiropractic. I don't see it as an operation. It's just like your back is like a set of wobbly stairs. Your spine is twisted and not in line. So just whatever this traction massage is, that's going to fix you up. I don't think you need an operation.
Well, I got a severe impingement, and they wanted to send me to interventional medicine because I don't want to take pain medicine. And they talked about a spinal stimulator, and I'm like, I'm not doing that. My mom had it done, and they ended up taking it out. So it's like, I don't want to get hooked on pain medicine either, and they don't want to do surgery. That's normally how they fix it, is surgery. Mine's a very severe impingement, but because of my rheumatoid, they don't want to do surgery because of the inflammation in my body.
Well, I just said all that. I said you don't need surgery. I'm looking at somebody doing some manual manipulation of your back, and that doesn't mean implanting or doing anything like that. You need mechanical, like they see them grabbing you and you're twisting you like a pretzel, maybe like a towel wringing you to water in a towel. But it's pretty supportive massage. But that's the answer. And I send the other things that before you been injected, the surgery and et cetera, you don't need any of that. You need somebody who's skilled and able to cable. I would look for somebody who does fascia massage. That comes to my mind. Fascia, myofascia massage.
Fascia.
Okay.
Fascia massage. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I'll put you back in the queue here. Okay, everybody. I think we try to stay on topic tonight. We're talking about how can we come together. And, I don't mind giving people some assistance like that nice lady in Florida. But it's okay to take advantage a little bit, I guess. Okay, we're going to go to the 773 and say, howdy, you're on the air. Hi,
Chicago.
On the air. Hi.
Carol from Chicago.
Hi, Carol from Chicago.
Okay. I was saying, how can people change the energy of their particular city or something? So do they get together and chant or pray or meditate to change that energy? In other words, Chicago seems to be having a mass of shootings and crime. And one of the reasons why I was thinking it is because people are not following the law, because the law is not being on a large scale enforced. It's like they don't have enough room to put the people in jail, and then they don't have enough programs to help fix the problem. So what can a city do, or what is your recommendation for Chicago? What can they do to
We've talked about Chicago before, and we've come up with some answers for you in your previous inquiries, Carol. Now, one of the things is to shut off the gun supply that's coming in from the neighboring states who have very lax gun control or gun laws. That's something that a city can do, is try to prevent the I just see a wave of weapons, like it's like a surfer wave coming in, and there's weapons all on this wave. So I'm going to say the image is obviously a wave of weapons coming in. So anything that the city can do to prevent this, these weapons that are coming in from outside of state, would be the first thing that comes to my mind, would be a good thing. The second is that, there are people who are angry, and we always have to go from the top down. So the people at the top, the infighting in city council and the fighting between the state and the city, and there's just everybody's just, I see hands reaching up trying to grab each other. That would be I'm not sure the people can do that, but the politicians could certainly, I guess, possibly, although it might be a difficult task, but they could come to some sort of agreement to disagree or to stop interfering with each other's reins of power. There's too many people blaming everybody else. That's, number one, they're blaming departments, they're blaming people. That's what I see. It's a mess. But answering your question, my mind goes to where you direct it. So there's no easy solution from the top down, but from the grassroots up, which is always the way. Whenever God wants to help a society, it comes along with one person, and that seed grows and germinates, and it affects other people, their consciousness, and from the grassroots up, there can be some things done. But that takes time, and there are people who don't have time. They're impatient. So my answer is, how can a city do this? Well, that's a big place to start. Let's start at the bottom and get groups of people. 10 people, the Bible says. If you get 10 people to come together and to meditate, visualize, contemplate, pray for peace in the Chicago area or the Chicago city proper, it can be affected. And then as for additional numbers of people, then that will grow and crime rates will come down. I know that there was that famous guru who was a guru to the Beatles, and I can't remember his name, almost had it tip my tongue. He was teaching transcendental meditation.
Maharishi,
there you go. And they did experiments where they would pick a crime-infested area, and they would send out loving thoughts, meditate on it for peace, and the crime wave actually decreased. They did this not just by chance. They specifically picked a region or area, and from the time they started their meditation, their contemplations, they watched the crime rate, and it came down. And when they stopped, the crime rate went back up a little bit. So they knew that they had a direct effect. That, Carol, it might sound overly simplified, but you need to start with a small group. Minimum would be 10. And if you can get 10 people to agree in one room on one thing, that's a great accomplishment. It's an amazing accomplishment. And those 10 people with that integrity can affect those minds that are at random, stressed, emotionally agitated, and are in great pain. So that's my suggestion. The way to do that is to go and try to find nine other people like yourself who care about Chicago. And they look at Chicago as one of the great cities in the world that it always was. It was a gateway to commerce all across the U.S. And as such, it has an importance. And that importance, that beauty, that nature of what Chicago is needs to be amplified. Rather than look at all the trouble and the difficulties and the dark side, try to start a spark of light to bring hope into that world. And don't have big ambitions. Think big, but have small accomplishments, small ambitions that maybe you can affect the crime rate in a municipality, in a neighborhood. Maybe you can, send out the vibes. I know this works because we did it a long time ago, and I'll tell you a thing we did at an auction. But you can say, let's pick on a neighborhood, and we'll send out the thought of beautification so that all that people in the neighborhood will fix up their houses, clean up the garbage off their front lawns, get the streets cleaned up, take the junky cars away, get better lights in the neighborhood. These are all things that are flashing in my mind as I'm describing them. At an auction once, this was on the street, just people, not an auction so much as a yard sale. And there were people I know, I was there, and they all decided that they would pick on a certain thing that was on the lawn, and they would focus on it so that somebody would come and buy it. Okay? And they did it. And every single time they picked an object, people would stop the car, walk down the street, come out of the house next, across the street, and they would buy that item. It got to be a joke. It was, okay, let's say that lawn chair over there, for $4, nobody's touched it all day. So they started concentrating on lawn chair, finding a new home, somebody like it, and somebody pull up in the car. How much is the lawn chair? $4, it's yours. Okay, wham, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Okay, that sounds like a nice story, and it sounds like, it's possible and relevant, but it started to rain on this day, and there was a wooden desk. It was getting down to near the end of the day, and there was a wooden desk, the kind where it had a wooden chair, and then it had a little platform in front that your child would ride on, a little desk. It was all one piece. I don't make those kind of desks anymore. It didn't have an inkwell in it, but it was pretty much close to that kind of day where there was a writing surface and a chair all tied together, and it started to pour. Well, at that point in time, everybody had decided, okay, let's concentrate on this wooden desk. And they were concentrating on it, and it came down and started to pour. And we thought, no, that's it. The charm is gone. It's not going to happen. And we spoke too soon. From across the street, a lady came out of her house with a coat over her head, like an umbrella, but it wasn't. It was just like a windbreaker over her head. And came, how much is the desk? And I don't know, $5 or $10, I can't remember. And she said, I want that. And they said, here we go. And she picked it up and took it back, which was a little bit heavy too. And it was still pouring rain. And we all just looked at each other and went, holy moly. But even in the rain coming down, the woman could have let it sit there until the rain stopped, we thought. But no, she wanted it. She had to have it. And so that taught me this lesson of group continuity. And if we focus on it, then we focused on something like a group, meaningful, having a good time, and having a single purpose of mind, you can make changes like that. And what comes to my mind is you pick on a street, and you say, okay, the street needs to be cleaned up, or something else that you find that is important, and then report back to me. Let me know how it works. I know this works. I know this is tapping into the race mind, into that consciousness that we call the race mind, or the human integrity that's between us all, especially in the neighborhood. Sometimes people just need a little cosmic push, a little telepathic suggestion, not something that they wouldn't do normally, because that doesn't work, but something that they would do, and it's beneficial to everybody. That's the secret to make things happen really fast. Sound like a mission?
Yeah, because I know I know people that chant too. They do the same thing chanting, so we got to get on it. That's all.
Well, chanting is okay, but what is the purpose of chanting? You know, chanting, singing hymns, meditating, you know, saying prayers, that's all things. That's all good. That's the process. But then there needs to be a result of that process, you know, like clean up the neighborhood. Somebody's not well, make them better. Somebody's, you know, lost, find them. There needs to be a result that's sensitive to one of the five physical senses. You can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, that kind of thing. Then you know that it's real because it appeals to the five physical senses. So the process of chanting, that's good. And the chant is going to be for more love to a neighborhood. The chanting is going to be for, you know, to clean up the street. I don't know. Whatever you choose, okay?
Yeah, we chanting. Often write it down. You write it down what you desire. Either, you know, and that's what you do. You chant, you pray, or you meditate on it.
Mm-hmm. And the process of doing that is for the manifestation of it.
Right.
All that is attracting. It's a law of attraction. You're putting out the call. This is what I need. I need my grass to grow better on my lawn. I want it to be rich and green and thick. And the grass will hear you. The grass will grow. And you also tell the weeds, and you suppress. We don't want the weeds. You know, you go elsewhere. We want the green grass. So you got the grass being amplified and the weeds being minimized. And the lawn will change like magic.
And Dr. Cottrell, I got one more question. When do you foresee the people going down the street typing on a laptop? I'm talking to Robert too, and Doug too. Typing on a typewriter, a hologram, and talking on the phone of a hologram. When do you foresee people doing this?
Well, I don't think I've foreseen it. Robert, have you seen anybody talking on a hologram?
No, when do you foresee them doing it on a mass level, you know, on a large level? In other words, you don't have to carry your computer anymore. You're typing virtually on a hologram, or you're talking on the phone on a hologram.
Don't we call that an Apple Watch now?
Well,
my daughter has an Apple Watch and she does everything on her watch that, you know.
I'm saying you don't even have to have it on the body. It'll just be somehow you can just whip it into the ether. I mean, you can whip it into the air. You know,
oh yeah, you're talking about something like. That's in your telepathy, in your mind's eye, and you're doing all this stuff, right? Is that what you're talking about?
I think she's talking about the transhuman movement where they want to, I think some government official announced last week that within 10 years, every student in every school will have a chip in their brain, and that chip will be used in some way to interface with computers. Of the different groups that are currently trying to take over the world, we only really touched on one, but of those groups, a significant number are espousing or promoting what they call the transhuman cult. You've seen this in 100 science fiction movies, but it's happening much faster than you would believe because the computers, if you recall, and we talked about this in a past show, our planet already has quantum computing. People don't understand what a breakthrough that is. Quantum computing, we talked about this, is not just a faster chip. It's not just a better model. Quantum computing, by its very nature, breaks the laws of physics as we know it. So now that we've reached that threshold, and that quantum computing is being used to develop AI, and I understand that some companies claim they have successfully developed AI. AI is also a very serious milestone. It's a computer that thinks for itself like a person. It exceeds its original programming. Once you have these milestones coming along, you're going to eventually get technology which will supplant and improve, or at least allegedly improve, the human body. And again, I'll just refer you to dozens of science fiction movies, including one I think that was done for Netflix about 2 years ago, where people are constantly putting things in their body, having artificial this and special powers there, and soon you have someone who is more electronics than they are actual living tissue, or living tissue combined with electronics, which I understand is quite possible. Some computer chips are are what they call organic chips. They're like human tissue. So this is the question you're asking. And assuming we don't blow ourselves to bits and don't go have an earthquakes and earth changes, we're not that far from this. You know, 10, 20 years is not out of the question. But it depends whether we can get a period of peaceful development or whether the whole planet is going into chaos. But it's a lot closer than you think.
I was just talking about the holograms, you know, not putting any chips into your brain or anything.
But you can't do one without the other. I'm sorry to tell you, you literally can't have one without the other. You can't have that kind of technology without the interface being inside your body, because otherwise you'd need to externally have an interface, and the amount of equipment for that is just no longer efficient. You can achieve those things in an electronic grid, but only when you have the interface already built in.
So the question is when? Okay, within 3 to 5 years, I see Carol holding up her hand, and I can count the digits, 3 or 5. There you go, Carol. Look out. You know, Robert, if somebody can create a hologram around them, can they become invisible?
Yeah, they're already the same technology used in those stealth craft. You simply have to bend light. Some of them say they have like an old-fashioned signboard we used to see along the highway, where they just broadcast on the board a fake version of what people will see. So they cover you up with lights or images, but the actual invisibility is just bending of light. The same way you bend space-time. There are apparently designs for interstellar craft. They used a lot in books, but they're based on real concepts. Star Trek and so on. The way you can move very quickly through outer space is by bending, distorting the space-time ahead of you. So if you can distort space-time, you can darn well distort light.
Okay. Thanks for your question, Carol. Always interesting.
And that just goes to show that the technology is way beyond what most people are aware.
Which is another topic that Doug is raising. And boy, you're going to like this one. Yes, that's for another show. There are a number of very intelligent people who believe, including, by the way, the Washington White House former Assistant Secretary of Housing, Catherine Fitz, who we've talked about once or twice. She was in, I had this conversation, oddly enough, 2 days ago with somebody. Catherine Fitz, who is not as active now in public interviews, we don't quite know why she stopped. There was a 5-year period in which she was very active and very outspoken. Again, a former White House level individual. But when just before she kind of went dark, she was having an interview with somebody about a press release she had done jointly with Dr. Mark Skidmore. Dr. Mark Skidmore is a university professor and author of most of the major economic textbooks in the U.S. And the two of them did a joint press release about 4 years ago, I believe, maybe 5 years ago. I could be off by a year, which they said that the Treasury in the U.S. government was missing $21 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars. And because of the authentication, because of the credentials of those two individuals, people at least listened to them. Maybe it was a little bit hard to take, but they at least listened to them. In that period, she did an interview, and this is where I'm leading to, with a reputable interviewer who said to her, "Catherine, okay, you've proven it. You've got Dr. Mark Skidmore to sign off on your research. Where'd the money go?" And there was this very unusual sort of look in her face, which is very strange, because this is a very strong, very self-possessed woman who doesn't kind of lose it for anyone. And she kind of looked a little bit to the side and said, "I think it went off planet," is what she said. That was a reference, perhaps, to this so-called secret space program that different people keep saying. If you go back, we did a whole show on this. If you go back to the Roswell incident in 1947, where it looks like the U.S. government successfully collected some downed spacecraft and was able to reverse engineer it, most of the biggest technological breakthroughs of this century were announced. Microwave ovens, television, transistors, all came after the 1940s, when the U.S. government allegedly got their hands on this. And they only apparently released to the public the ones they considered safe, the really big stuff they kept for themselves. I'm just giving you the theory. Don't send me letters. Don't take an argument with me. I'm just telling you there are people who believe that different groups aligned with the U.S. government, but not the U.S. government directly, have been working with advanced technology for a very long time.
Okay. We're going to head over to the 312. Thank Carol for being on the show, and it's always interesting questions. We're in the 312, and you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Name and location, please.
Hey, this is Vince. I'm calling from New York.
Hey, Vince.
Hey. I actually called because I was going to ask you about a job that I still haven't heard from for the last 2 weeks, and I'm getting worried because I'm eating up at my savings. I do have a job right now, but it's not paying up. But I wanna see if you can get anything on my wife, Kathy. I'm going to give the phone to her because she's really depressed and the way things are going right now. And maybe you can enlighten her on some stuff. So I'm going to give my phone to Kathy, and you can if she can ask you a question. All right. So here she is. Just 1 second. Kathy, this is James Cottrell.
Oh.
Hang on here.
You can ask them.
Hello?
Hey, Kathy, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Vince says you're a little concerned. What's your question? It's not quite where we're at the topic of the show tonight, but what's the concern? What's going on?
Oh, I wanted to know if you see anything about the guy upstairs that lives above us.
Uh-huh. What do you mean? Whether he's weird or what?
I'm followed.
Is he following you? That's what I said. Is he weird? Is that what you're saying?
Like he's watching.
Yeah, he's. I see him in a semi-dark room. Not to scare you or anything like that. I think he's got a pair of binoculars and he watches everything in the neighborhood. And
mm-hmm.
He's an attractive lady. I think maybe you catch some of his time, but he's not going to hurt you or anything like that. If that's what you're worried about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I am because he gets very loud over, right above me as he follows. And it's really scary.
Okay, well, you know, if when you go in the hallway or whatever, you know, just you look up and down the stairs, and if it's okay, you run out the door. But I just see him as he's not dangerous, but he's like he's in his own little world. But he's an observer. He just watches everybody. That's how he gets his entertainment.
Kicks. Yeah. Okay. I got that feeling.
Yeah, well, women usually do when men are looking at them. They can feel, they look around, who's watching me? And you'll know. So when you get that feeling like you're being watched, then you look around and stare them down, from a distance. If you're going to go out in the hallway.
Well, it's from upstairs, like he has cameras or something. And I've heard him drilling into the floor.
Oh.
From upstairs, yeah.
Okay. That's a different question. I didn't. I was looking for you. I could see the stairs, and I could see up and down the stairs.
Yeah, he's there too. Yeah, you see that correctly.
Okay.
Yeah, but this is another. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know what your subject was about, or that I would be talking to you. I'm so sorry.
No, I think Vince just sandbagged us here, you and me both. But that's an important thing. Who's the landlord?
Well, it's different. It's different owners. We rent from an owner. It's like a condo kind of situation. Yeah.
Robert's a pretty big authority on condos. I mean, you need to report this to somebody, I would think.
Well, I want to, but I want to have proof because I don't want to sound like I'm crazy.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, Kathy. You don't need to be crazy to say, the hair on the back of my neck stands up. I have suspicions. I could be right.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. That's how you, when you approach somebody like that, you go to authority and say, I don't want you to think, I'm here, but I could be right. It could be wrong. But I've been told by somebody, you can say me if you like, that I should at least mention this because I have suspicions and, you don't have to have ironclad proof, like photographic evidence. You just need to go there and say, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm feeling, and I thought I'd report it to you, and maybe you could check it out for me, because this makes me feel terribly uncomfortable, and I might end up moving here. They'll take action on it.
It feels like I'm a prisoner in my own home because he will follow every exact step I'm walking, and when I stop, he stops. If I go backwards, he'll go backwards. It's that bad.
Again, when people are sort of the topic of the show tonight, when you're into a state of anxiety, things go awry because, you know, it multiplies. What you need to know is the truth. And the truth is it your imagination? No. Is it somebody who's actually doing something really bad? Could be. Is it somebody that's just being, you know, a so-and-so and mischievous? Okay, then that needs to be corrected. But I don't see in any danger. That's what I said. And so the thing is, but you can't sit back and just, it's a never-ending story. You have to put a closure to it or end it. And the best way is you go to the landlord and you say, listen, I'm here today because I have a concern. I could be right. I could be wrong. But I feel I'm being watched, and I think something's going on with the fellow upstairs. I mean, as far as I know, he's okay, but I just feel like I'm being watched all the time. What do you recommend we do? And they might say, well, we're going to put some security cameras in right away. We're going to put them in all hallways, all floors, and we're going to watch. And you say, okay, that's fair. Okay, there's a solution right there. And then two things will happen. Yeah. Either something will be found out and the man will be asked to leave, or you'll find out that there's another reason that what you think is going on is happening, but it's not the reason you thought. And then you can have peace and say, okay, well.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, that it could, you know, is it my imagination? So I started testing it out. I actually flipped him a bird to see if he was really watching me. I know that sounds silly, but I just wanted to see. And he started banging like crazy, just stomping and banging and dropping furniture and things I did that.
Okay, then that was wise.
You know what I mean?
That was wise of you to test your theory. Now, the next thing is you tell the landlord exactly that same story. You say, I did something, and all of a sudden he went off. Because if, you know, you tell the landlord, you say, either, you know, I feel a prisoner in my home, and if I'm uncomfortable, if this man is doing something, let's say.
Which means I can't get dressed or do anything. Yeah. There's enough going in our world right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's enough going on in our world right now. You're dealing with bigger things.
Right. My advice is to resolve it, not to put up with it. Okay. And then just say, you go to them and you say, could be right, could be wrong. This is what I feel.
Yeah.
I made this little test and I, you know, to see if he's got cameras watching me when I'm getting dressed or something. I don't know. They could go in, if they have the equipment, I'm sure they could very quickly do a sweep of the area and find out if there's been cameras broadcasting or streaming or something like that. I'm not up with that stuff, but go do something.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sorry that your show got interrupted. You have a wonderful evening.
We're here to help, and it's a big thing. Is if we can get you to take a deep breath and walk into the landlord's office and say, "I'm here because I have some concerns. I could be right. I could be wrong." I say, "But this is what is going on." Be very simple. Say, I think the man upstairs is watching me. I think, you know, he's got cameras or something. I could be off the wall here, but I did a hand gesture, and he started stomping around upstairs. So, and that's why I'm here today. And
well,
somebody
that's why I haven't said anything yet, because it does sound crazy.
Yeah,
but I know I'm not.
Okay, inactivity. You know, something unresolved doesn't get resolved, and you're living in a nightmare every day. So face up, walk in, make your pitch. Nothing happens, move out.
If we could afford
you. I know you don't want to move, but, I mean, that's what you have to have in your mind, and you bite the bullet and say, okay, if my safety is more important, but at this point in time, say something, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck. Let us know.
Good night.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Okay, so there's somebody in a little bit of a difficulty and a hard time. We hope that gets resolved real quick. Better to speak up than not, I always say. I'm looking at the board here. We're going to go to the, we're going to go to somebody who's been hanging on here for a long time. They're kind of a, everybody's been here for a while, so we'll go to the 972 and say, howdy, you're on the air.
Well, hello, this is Jean from Dallas again.
Hi, Jean.
Hi. My question is, will Putin really press the nuke button and hit he really will.
Yep, I'm just putting down where part of my predictions, my forward-looking thing tonight, I've been on other radio shows and this one that I made a prediction that we saw a black cloud in the sky. First of all, there are men and women fighting against professional soldiers, which is now going in Ukraine. So this was before the war started. And then we saw a big white dome, which I've recently seen on on a TV show that looks, the big white dome looks like Chernobyl, okay, because it's a big white dome.
I remember you saying that, yeah.
And then something happened, so the man was killed, the woman picked up the rifle, and then there was this explosion. So that's number one, is that there could be an accidental explosion, there could be sabotage. Doug Bentley had some image on that. There could be sabotage. I've seen this black cloud, and the other people from different sources, I'm not going to say who they were, but from different sources, people have seen radiation poisoning in the ground and in Russia in particular. Chernobyl's pretty much in Russia or pretty close to the border. The possibility that renewed information coming, again, part of my, as I said earlier in the show, that where are we going here in this time of extremes? This is it. This is coming up. And the best case scenario should be somewhere in October or November. I'm putting a time on this now, where before we've just seen the events.
Oh, wow.
And this could be, if this is what we're seeing, this could be in October, November, where there's going to be this horrific event happen, which I think somebody had a dream, or I did myself, I think it was myself, I had a dream where Russian people, something happened in Russia where Russian people wouldn't touch the deceased people because they were afraid of getting of dying themselves. And I thought it was the plague we talked about on the show. Somebody suggested that. Now I'm thinking it's radiation poisoning. So we're looking at the fall. And again, this is one of those things where forewarned is forearmed, which leads to the next part of the be prepared. You know, somebody in Arizona a couple of years ago now had a vision dream where she was to stock up and grow her own potatoes because potatoes would be in short supply. And lo and behold, she found out you could grow potatoes in bags. And I'm actually going to put mine in plastic containers this year. I threw them in the ground last year, and we got some back, but we forgot where they were.
A few little moles around there.
Yeah, I had a help. I had a fellow that cuts my grass help me to put. I went out there and he had them all stuck in the ground. And I said, "Where are they?" He said, "Well, some there, some there, some there." And I go, anyway, up came the leaves. The leaves went away, and we didn't know where the potatoes went. So, but anyway, back to the point. So there's this need to have food to be stocked up, to be prepared. Talked to somebody in your home state last night, and they likewise were having visions of internet interruptions, shortages, and some difficulties with money, that there would be problems with dollar bills or, you know, with cash. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to take my $200 out of my savings account at the bank, and I'm going to, you know, take it into $1 bills. I'm going to stick it under my mattress, so I'll have some extra cash. Okay, we don't make $1 bills in Canada anymore. But anyway, The point being is to have a few extra bucks on hand, because there's going to be internet interruption, banking interruption, or some kind of interruption in the economy. We're not quite sure what it is, but I'm leaning towards internet, either hacking or interruption. Again, to the idea that this could be caused or time when there is this nuclear catastrophe. And think about the karma of the Russian people who are inflicting all this mayhem and murder and devastation to all the buildings. I mean, the artillery isn't just shooting at military targets, as we know when we watch on all the newscasts. They're blowing the heck out of all the buildings. They're just leveling villages that have nothing in them but people. And
yeah.
And the karma, the response to that would be for an explosion to go off and all the houses would be leveled in Russia, and the mayhem and the killing, the unbalance. I'm not trying to justify it. I'm not taking sides, and I'm not saying hooray for this and boo for that. I'm just saying that this would be a reciprocal thing that could happen to the country for what the Russians' invasion is now doing to Ukraine. And Ukraine, of course, I did not know much about Ukraine other than they had really nice people prior to this, but 90% of the world's sunflower seed products come from Ukraine. I didn't know that. And then I find out that Ukraine is one of the largest bread baskets, if you will, supplies for Europe and for Russia. And so if something happens to Ukraine, Russia, where there's an explosion, there's going to be a lot of shortages for food, is there not? And maybe there won't be any food growing in Russia and Europe, which is something I've said before, a prediction I made a long time ago. So to answer your question, Gene, Putin's, I wouldn't be surprised if there were, submarines lying off the coast of the West Coast or East Coast right now.
Yeah, he has threatened to nuke the West and the East Coast. I don't know the... Will he, though?
Well, he's objecting. He's got his own legitimate objections to say that, NATO's got all these missiles sitting on his front door around his country boundaries. This is what some provocation was. And if a man... such that he is, remember, he doesn't let anybody come near him. They have to be 30 to 50 feet away. And seeing some of those images where he has these long dinner tables where three or four of his officials are at one and he's at the other all by himself, it's pretty scary to see somebody, at least from my position, I don't want to say paranoid, but so concerned for his own safety that people can't get close to him. Now, that said...
Is he really ill, though? I've heard conflicting.
Well, we don't know.
When
I see the images, I get my own conclusions, and that's how everybody should be. But you shouldn't jump to a definitive conclusion because we don't know. Nobody knows what's in somebody's mind. We only see what they do and react to it. Pardon?
Yeah. Darn. Well, do we in Texas have to worry about any nuking? Do I need to run out and get, lots of iodine pills?
I think you need a new governor. No, I only say that because I love Texas. And, there's been a lot of stuff going on in Texas. It's very strange that my friend Raul had a vision dream where the trucks couldn't go north. There was just a shortage of what would be called dry goods going north. And I think it was 3 weeks ago now where the governor had decided that all the trucks that came through customs from, the southern border now had to go through a rigmarole of special inspections on their tires and engine RPM and stuff, and literally blocked the shipment of products from going north for a long time, I think 7-10 days. I don't know if that's been resolved or not, but that was Raul's dream coming true. And that was a direct effort of the political one side trying to make the other side look good or bad or something like that. But that happened. There's these things that we're talking about tonight that we can't really comprehend. We can foresee them. We can discuss them. But the idea is that, you know, this is a time of extremes. How can we handle this? How can we come together? And the idea is to be prepared. So in Texas is going to do better than most of the other states for whatever reason. But the idea would be to have anywhere between a 3 and a 6 month supply of food or medicine or whatever. And you know, Gene, I've been on the shows before. You've been on the show and you've heard me talk about be prepared, have stuff together. How is it that the baby formula catastrophe happened? You know,
how is that?
So anybody who has a baby now and you have formula or you can get a hold of it, you should, as we warned on this show, Robert and I and Doug and other people, we have said, be prepared, have something stock up. Now, if you need insulin, you should have enough insulin that would last. I know you have to refrigerate it or freeze it, but you should have some insulin. It's, you know, more than just 1 week supply.
He must have been two. My husband's on insulin, so.
Well,
that's good.
Insulin from Canada costs $50 a vial. Insulin in Texas costs $300 to $400 or more a vial. Take a trip to Canada, stock up. Bernie Sanders did it. You better run a busload of Americans over, and they stocked up with all this insulin. And I don't benefit anybody. I don't benefit from any sales of insulin myself. I own no stock in any company that has insulin. But that's an example, although very somewhat crude, to say that you know, this is a time of extremes. How many times can we say on this show? How many times can we talk about things? Robert's talking about groups of people that are attempting to, you know, corner the market in different ways. Those are my words, and he's right. And there are people doing it all the time. Are we just, you know, sheep that we just go along, or are we got to stand up and say enough's enough? But what do we start? We start by stocking up, not hoarding, but stocking up so that, you know, so that we can't be taken advantage of. And I have a rule of thumb, a pet peeve, if you will. Some of these shortages are artificial. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that I'm saying that, and I hate to say it, but there are people who are gouging, and there are people who are taking advantage, and they have no hearts. On this show, we predicted, John Lepak predicted on the show that gasoline was going to go up to over $6. That was not too long ago. It was just a couple of months ago, and he had two or three visions of gasoline going up. So I ran out and stocked up my car, you know, got my 5 liter or my 5 gallon can of gas filled up there, and just in case I need some extra gas. No, I didn't do that at all. But the point was that we can foresee the future, and on this show we predict the future, and we got a pretty good track record. Not everything we say has happened yet, but a lot of things have. And what we're trying to do is to get everybody to look forward, and your call tonight is the same. We can say things that are going to happen, but people have to do something about it. And what we're suggesting is don't be a sheep. Don't believe what you hear. Find out who loves you, as Robert would say, and stick close. You know, get a little group of people together and say, okay, let's see, they've got lighters on sale here. Oh, propane tanks, and they're normally $15 to fill up. They got them for $9.95 at Costco. Let's go run over there and stock up.
Stock club.
So be prepared. So anyway, Gene, sorry I might have got off track what you're asking, but I don't know where the Robert. Where do you think the? I'm going to reach out here and see if Robert has a idea where the baby formula mishap. I know there was a company that was shut down, Robert, because they were allegedly not producing the formula at the right.
That's a deliberate. You're quite right. That was a deliberate. I mean,
was it?
You nailed it. I'm surprised you even went down that road. But yeah, there are groups, very, very, very powerful groups. I'll put another very in there, who benefit from causing us pain and discomfort and upsetting us. Their research over a long period of years shows them that the more disoriented and upset and fearful the population is, the more willing it is to accept unusual, exhaustive, extreme solutions. And that's all they have to offer are unusual, exhaustive, extreme solutions. Martial law, vaccine passports, social credit scores, digital currency. And their goal, and this is not news, if you hang around that community that likes to dig deeper, people like me, for instance, because I know where to go to talk to other people like me, this has been forecast for some 20-odd years. This is what's going to happen. This has always been the playbook of the powerful organizations. They scare the living hell out of you, and then they tell you they can fix it all, but their solution often creates brand-new problems. So that's where we are now. We're literally in the middle of a very serious squeeze, and they're not done yet, which means they have a lot of very unpleasant stuff coming down the pike, and they want to be able to implement it as best they can.
Mm-hmm. And there's always, you know, Gene, there's always the rule of thumb, follow the money.
Yeah.
And when you see people making money, go ahead. You nailed it. Gene?
Nailed them. Yes. Thank you very much.
So, gold and silver. Yeah, that's they've been lagging lately. We talked about that before. Somebody had a dream, and I'm just going to throw it out there because it was reported to me that they were looking in the future, and that there was something with the money, or there was the U.S. buck was hard to get, or something. And so they had to buy food with silver coins. And the price they paid for a single egg was a single silver coin. Now, I'm not sure it was a nickel or a dime or a dollar, dollar bill, I don't know. But I'm throwing that out to you, my friends. We've talked about having silver and gold coins, precious metals, precious stones. Seeds are going to be important. And have you noticed that everybody's kind of starting a garden? How about yourself, Gene? Have you seen people starting gardens down your way?
Well, I kind of have a zucchini plant growing, but it's only set one zucchini fruit. And then I learned that there are male and female, I guess, flowers there. I guess I have more male flowers than I have female flowers, but I have one zucchini after all that work. Yeah, and I have herbs. I do.
Okay, well, you might want to look out, look up on the internet rather. People are growing gardens in containers, and as I said, potatoes in bags, and the containers have like a little door, Velcro door. You open it up, and you reach in, grab a potato, and you close the door up again. You keep the plant going that way, and it keeps producing potatoes. It sounds ridiculous. I know. The first time I heard it, I couldn't believe it. But it's extremely popular. Yeah.
Oh,
so you'll be surprised when anybody listening to the show tonight, you know, just jump on the internet and see potatoes and bags, or carrots the same. And you're probably, your zucchini would probably do well in a bag. Have a couple of buddies in there, you know. And I'm not sure about onions and other things, tuberous, but It's huge. And
was there dirt in the bag?
Yeah. You fill it up with dirt, put in your seed potatoes, and then when the potato plant matures, you don't have to rip it out of the ground to get the potatoes. You just open the door, reach in, and grab one or two.
I'm going to have to try. I like that.
Whoever thought that up was a genius. Or they probably had a bunch of potatoes growing in a bag and forgot about them and ended up having a crop. The first time I heard about it, I thought it was a joke. And then I realized, I think you can get it at places like Walmart and Kmart or wherever. Target. I don't know. They sell the bags. I also think if you're really clever, you can go down to the supermarket and grab those shopping bags. They're kind of like, you know, plastic. And just throw the dirt in there and put the potato in there. And then when you're ready, yank the whole plant out or cut a little door out. It's amazing.
I like that. I like that. Okay.
I'm going to try, now we're on the subject, I'm going to try growing corn in my blue recycle bin.
But you can't move it. You plant it. If you move it or take it out by the root, it won't thrive. It absolutely has to stay in place from what I've read.
We're talking about corn.
I'm talking about corn.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw six little plants in there. Throw in the I think there's the peas or beans will grow around the stalk of the corn. I think I'm gonna try that. And another one that's an Indian, North American Indian tradition. You grow the three: corn, peas, and squash in the same place. The squash goes around the plant, keeps the animals away. The corn has a stalk, produces corn, and then it has a support for the beans or the peas.
Wow. And you throw a dead fish in there. That's what they used to do to fertilize.
That's true. The Chinese, too. I see that. You know, you throw a dead fish in there, and you got fertilizer. And, hey, we got a gardening show going here tonight, folks. You know, where's the world headed? It's headed potatoes in bags. And there we go. Always a delight to talk to you, Jane.
Okay, thank you very much.
Are you up to like 100 degrees yet, or 130 degrees in anywhere in Texas?
Oh, well now, it's been cool in the mornings and warm in the afternoons, but not that hot, in the 90s maybe. And we're having rain in June instead of May.
Hmm.
Which is making it a month late, which is strange, but there it is.
Yeah. This is the whole thing about the world being so out of balance right now. But okay. Yep, I might be coming down after June. I was thinking of coming down this month, but then when I say down, I was thinking going to Texas, but maybe it'll be July. We'll see. Love the place, and my friend and partner Raul are down there, and we were just talking recently, as I said, about things. But there's a concern, to bring it back home, there's a concern to be prepared for outages, shortages.
We just had a brownout. Mm-hmm. We had a brownout this week, and a friend of mine had a brownout the day before. Didn't last very long, but there you have it.
Yeah.
They never changed the grid. They never fixed it.
Oh, my God. So if the storm comes in July or August and you get that freezing snowstorm in August, you're going to have some difficulty again. Remember, everybody, if you're living in Texas or the Southwest, know where the water shut off is in your house. So if the pipes get cold and they're going to burst, you'll know where to shut it off in the basement or where the cement slab is. You'll know where the main shutoff is in the house.
Well, I know exactly, and how to do it. It's in the front of our yard.
You have
to have one of the T-square things to grab the thing is a key and turn it. Anyway, that's how they do it here.
Okay, well, make sure you have one hanging up in the garage somewhere so you know. And, get a little fluorescent paint around that key in the grass. I'm overkilling. Here we go. Okay, so thanks, Jane, for being on with us tonight. We'll see you sometime in Texas. Take care. Thanks,
okay,
Jane.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's head on over to the 410, the 757, the 818, the 951, and the 914. And the show's getting on as we go to... let's take a short break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk more with Robert about where the world is going and how we can look out for each other and find our way in this time of difficulty. Okay, everybody stand by. We'll be right back.
Why should you join us in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th? Just listen to a couple of Hope Conference attendees.
Thank you, Douglas, for the conference, the Hope Conference. It was amazing. I learned so much. This Hope Conference really culminated in everything I needed to really hone in on, and I know what my life purpose is, and I really thank all of you, every one of you.
Hi, Douglas. I want to thank you for having this conference here. I learned a lot, especially about dreams. I definitely plan on taking your advice, writing down all my dreams. All your staff was very helpful, very friendly, and I'm looking forward to the next conference. We'll see what happens. Thank you very much.
During this impactful three-day conference, you'll be guided through a series of sessions including dream interpretation and future predictions, the great shift, the increasing sense of impending changes and human transformation, virtue spirit healing, the power of auras, chakras, and creating an open mind to your spiritual gifts, plus additional guest speakers and guided meditation. Go now to hopeconferences.org. That's hopeconferences.org for your ticket and a don't miss event. And we'll see you in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Every so often, an individual appears who can demonstrate the ability to access the dimension known as the Akashic Field. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is one such individual. The field is like a celestial library of all our thoughts and actions. Since the dawn of time, science is demonstrating that through this energetic field, our minds are connected to one another despite our perception that we're all separate. This is why the great religions of the world teach respect, compassion, and tolerance. They depict the field as the book of life, the source of inventions, inspiration, and insight. In the book, Conversations with the Akashic Field, Dr. Cottrell offers you practical advice from the Akashic Field so you may live a life of peace and prosperity. Go to douglasjamescottrell.com and click on Shop. There you'll find books, meditation, and other spiritual advancement materials. Welcome back. Tonight, a special encore edition of The Global Village from June 4th, 2022, with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host Doug Bentley with special guest Robert Appel, discussing predictions in a time of extremes. Now, once again, here's your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Global Village Radio Show being broadcast worldwide from London, Ontario, Canada. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell, and my good friend Doug Bentley is co-hosting the show tonight, along with our special friend and guest, Robert Appel. Robert, it's interesting that, you know, people are picking up on these things, that there are groups that are, you know, sensitive and taking advantage. You know, do you think it's more prominent, or, you know, we've talked a little bit about it, but how can we, other than finding people who love us, as you said earlier, how can we get together, or how can we focus this on, you know, just expand on what you were saying a little while ago? As Jean's point was pretty clear, there are people out there who are taking advantage.
I'll give you an answer, but it's a little different than you probably expect. I'll take us back to some shows we did earlier in the year on UFOs, which is an odd connection. And what came out of those shows is that a lot of the information we get, channeled material from people who are either in contact or claim to be in contact with other intelligences, is that there are, as on this planet, binaries, a binary environment. There's good and bad. There's service to self, service to others. And although there are bad, or let's call it selfish entities out there, there are also very positive ones who want to help. And that's where it gets really interesting. The positive ones who want to help claim that this planet, our planet, has been in darkness for a long, long time and virtually property of, let's say, the bad guys, just for clarity. And we've covered in that show other sources for that. I gave you references, the Robert Morning Sky material, the Zachariah Sitchin material, there's lots of material on that. But, and here's where I'm going. The positive entities, intelligences, who want to help cannot help until there is a majority of people here on the planet that's in trouble who wants their help. In other words, and this goes to what you were saying, Doug, about if you can convince 10 people or if 10 people can focus on the same idea, to get the assistance we need, apparently there's a rule in the universe and the cosmos that a majority of people have to be thinking a certain way. So that's the answer to the question you just asked. If you want to get out of the bind we're in, and so far I don't see any indication we're getting out of this bind, it seems to be getting worse almost every day, a majority of us, not all of us, but a majority of us, have to start thinking positively, have to start thinking constructively, and have to start saying no to a lot of the stuff that's going on. And if saying no means putting yourself at risk, or maybe protesting, or peaceful protest, of course, or just standing up to authority, then, you know, that's how basically the United States was built. It was built on the Boston Tea Party and drawing a line in the sand. When that caller from Chicago was talking about the fact that the U.S. is lawless in many of the larger cities, particularly in the Northeast, that's entirely true. Every previous record for daily murders in the large northeastern cities has been now beaten. In some cities in the southwestern U.S., like San Francisco, you have laws that say that if you steal, either alone or in a group, anything below a value of $900, that's not a crime. So in certain neighborhoods, particularly, again, San Francisco comes to mind, the certain groups of people have organized, and they go into stores, a bunch of them, and they empty it out. Because the argument is that as long as no one person steals or shoplifts, in plain sight, mind you, more than $900, it's not a crime. Police are not going to bother them, which is why a lot of the drugstores and so on in San Francisco have closed. It's just not worth trying to maintain a retail store in that area. And the question was put to you, again, by that caller earlier about, you know, what can we do? And that call came in off the top of the show just after I'd made the point that people have to be alert and aware to what's going on. So what's the connection? The connection is that I said you have to see the environment and you have to read the room. It wasn't that long ago, in terms of the mass media and our culture, when there was a movement called, I'm not making this up, everybody will know what I'm talking about, defund the police. That was a big deal. And the people who were awake and alert should have said, hold on now, you want to defund the police? That's not going to end well. I don't know what you think you're trying to make the point is. I don't care how much publicity and ads and other stuff you do each day to convince me that's a good thing. That's not a good thing. That really is not a good thing. That's not going to work out. That would have been a really good time to stand up and say, hey, we've lost control of this narrative. Somebody's trying to mess with our heads. But most people didn't take that approach. They just started passing motions and having council meetings and say, yeah, let's stop the police entirely. Let's just hug the bad guys. Let them take what they want. Let them do what they want.
Robert,
who needs the police?
But on balance, it didn't go anywhere, right? I mean, that didn't happen. It was a stupid statement, in my opinion. A foolish one, perhaps, but it didn't go anywhere. The police.
I think actually it did go to a certain degree where it's in. This is what concerned me at the time. I didn't say anything because it wasn't in to say that. But what concerned me is that the police, people actually are police, people who make a living as being police, they got the message. They got the message that when push comes to shove, they don't have any friends out there. But back to the argument, you go into a room, you know who loves you and who hates you. The police got the sense that when push comes to shove, they don't have any friends out there, so they started thinking a lot about themselves and maybe not the people they're supposed to protect. A lot of arguments have been made in the media in the last two or three days, and I don't want to raise a very troublesome issue, I don't get anybody upset, but in a certain incident that happened maybe last week, which involved the police not quite doing their job, there are experts saying that the police aren't doing their job because the police no longer feel they have the support of the public in doing their job. This has all been a cultural shift, a shift in perception, a shift in emotion, and it all started from one simple phrase that was picked up by millions of people all across the U.S. and said, hey, this is a great idea. No, it's not a good idea. Pay attention. Read the room. Don't let people pull the wool over your eyes.
Right. Well, I have lots of police friends, and when you're a policeman, you know, you really don't have a lot of friends, and the friends you do have, you're always suspicious of them. Once you've been a policeman for 20 years, everybody lies, and you can, they can, people, policemen are people, and they can become jaded and stuff like that. So, but there are a lot of people going to police and law enforcement who are really good guys, and doesn't matter. They know the story, and they're the ones, and I've said it on this show before, and I admire the police, and I admire their courage. They're the ones that go down those dark alleys with a flashlight and a gun in their hand, and they don't know what's on the other side of that fence or what's at the end of the alleyway. And it's a thankless job, but it's a necessary one, and I agree with you, Robert. It was to try to put that into some movement, which was I don't know what the end result was. Not the end result. I know what the end purpose was to take money away from police departments and put it into other social programs. And as far as I know, it was a kerflop. I think it was a lot of rhetoric. I've got everybody upset. I'm sure that the police and the firemen and the nurses who were going through the COVID thing, they were big heroes on one hand, and then the next time the public is so fickle, they were, you know, criticizing the nurses and the firemen and things like that. So, you know, it's a sign of the times. But, you know, I agree with you that that was a really, really foolish statement. It probably affected a lot of people who just basically said, well, I can be a fireman. I don't need to be a policeman. And away they went. I don't know. But I think it went kaflop. I can't think of, it's almost like, you know, do we still remember that? I think you even asked the question. People remember those times? I don't know, Robert. I just don't know when people ask me questions, I'm reflecting as they talked about, and I'm not trying to put a, you know, icing candy coat it, but I don't think it went anywhere, and I think it some of the elections came along and things went away. I don't think they do that anymore, do they? It's not out there.
No, it did go. Millions of dollars were rerouted to ridiculous social movements. There was a scandal, last week, two weeks ago, originally discovered by, what's her name, that Candace Owens, who's a black lady, has her own social media platform. She was one of the first to expose the fact that the BLM movement, which got got millions of dollars from sources. It all went into buying, like, mansions and so on. It didn't do anything useful for the
all of the money, right?
To.
Yeah. Good grief. Well, there we go. You know, but the point is that we're here tonight. We're trying to get to help people to be aware. And as we were talking to the lady about a problem in their upstairs neighbor, don't sit on it. Do something about it. And I think that's a blanket direction for anybody. If you just sit still and something's aggravating you, the end result's going to be worse than where you are now. You have to do something, you have to change something, anything to change. And then, of course, some of these movements, as I might bet Babe Robert, is that some of these movements that are out there for across the board, red, blue, or in the middle, it just follow the money. And the people are just shouting and screaming and hollering. And you look at them, and they're making all the money. They're getting donations, or they're selling products, or something's going on. So we have to be buyer beware. I mean, the good old days, you know. The police are here to help us, but we have to take responsibility for ourselves as well. We can't defer to the police or defer to somebody else. We have to take action, and that sometimes means coming together, people of like mind, and doing something at a grassroots level. Okay, so where are we going to head next? Let's go to the Eeny Meeny 818, and we'll say, hello, you're on the air.
Hello, hi, Dr. Cottrell. This
hi.
Is Dani Marie from Southern California.
Hi, Dani.
Hi, how are you? I was just calling to listen in on the show.
Okay, I'll have to mark that down. 818-818. Hey, that's a neat number you got. Just listening. You're the best.
Yes. However, there's been some great subjects that have been brought up that I'm listening to. Amazingly enough, what the one gentleman was talking about with the secret space program and what you guys are talking about this evening and what the world is to expect and what's coming. They've actually made it public that the secret space program is a real thing. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. There's a series called Cosmic Disclosure that's on Gaia, and it's got several seasons, and they go into detail about it. So now there's actual physical proof of a lot of these things that are going on that people can see for themselves.
I think, Robert, you were up on that when you were...
Yeah, no, I've known about Gaia TV. Yeah. It's been around for quite a while. And if you notice, the reason they allow that is because it's considered, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I'm just, you know, my job is kind of to say things as they are. It's considered to be fringe television that is not fully substantiated. Now, I think it's great. I like the content. But if you really look carefully and go over many years of content, you'll see they use the same sources over and over and over. And these are people who routinely appear in these shows. But the U.S. government, which is, I guess, the final, you know, truth teller, if you like, in this matter, has never acknowledged the secret space program, although lately they've been sort of leaning towards more disclosure about their UFO contacts over the years, which suggests something. In my opinion,
they don't have a choice.
Yeah,
they don't have a choice. And there's a space program that Trump put the flag on. So it is a real thing, whether people want to buy into it or not. The facts are there.
I was about to say that having been looking at this as one of the topics I researched for some 30, 40 years, read probably several hundred books, including ones back when there was no internet by, I mentioned some of the writers who are gone now, but they did tremendous, tremendous work. Raymond Drake, PhD, one of my favorites. I'm sure he's passed on. The evidence is overwhelming, in my opinion,
that
there's all this stuff going on. And to a lot of people who are involved with it, it's like the weather. They don't even think about it anymore. It's just the rest of us, the normies. We're called the normies because we don't have any involvement.
Right. Yes. Well, I mean, it's definitely worth looking into, and it will answer a lot of people's questions. And a lot of this, there's proof where you can find it for yourself. But it's just really interesting to hear. But again, I'm just listening to the show today.
Okay. Well, we'll put you back on the queue and say thank you for being part of the show and appreciate you listening in all the time.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to the, 757, I think, and we'll say hello. You're on the air.
Hello, good evening. I spoke with you before the last time when we were talking about the shootings in this country.
Okay.
What's your first name?
Where are you calling from?
Yeah, Vernell from Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah. I was really calling about a personal issue. There's so much going on. Anyway, there's just seemed to be this growth in my abdomen, in the upper right side, and I already had a hernia, but it seems like something else had. It felt like something else had formed because I'm feeling this bump on my stomach, like when I stand up. And do you think it's anything serious, or you don't think it's anything serious?
Well, what I see is kind of like a little white bulb, almost egg-shaped. So I think you might have a fibroid tumor in there.
Okay.
Okay, it's just like an egg-shaped, and it's whitish color, and it's not moving, doesn't have anything's reaching out from it. So I think you might have some sort of fibroid something or other in there. Make sense?
Okay. You don't think it might require an operation or would it go down?
Yeah, something that's fibroid like that usually requires a small incision, and it's just like pulling out a golf ball or an egg, and it's solid mass. That's what I'm looking at. I mean, I'm not a doctor, and just giving you my interpretation of this image I have in my mind's eye. So it's not going to go away by itself. It's a mass, and it needs to be surgically removed.
Okay.
Check it out. It could be right. It could be wrong, you know.
Yeah. Well, you was right about something before. And also family. You know, I have family that's been really against me for many years, and I haven't talked to them. I really don't talk to them, and all of a sudden they're trying to communicate with me. And one of my cousins, for instance, had passed away last year, and his wife, both of them acted like they didn't like me for years. And so all of a sudden his brother
like
and I'm sorry?
Now they like you? Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going on. I'm kind of wondering if they might be up to something.
No, I think they just want to heal up old wounds. I think I would go there and try not to talk about the past, just to say, my, how are things, you know, how you've changed and what a nice hat you have or nice house and things like that. I would go there. I think they're everybody's sad in the family and they're trying to get the family together to make everybody happy. They're trying to pull people together. That's what I think, the integrity of the family.
Okay.
Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you answering.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay. Take care. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, these buttons seem to be working a little better on the show, guys. Doug, what do you think? From your end of the show here, it sounds like it's going okay.
It does to me.
Okay, what's your 2 cents worth, Doc? Now we got you on the line here. Have a question for Robert? Robert, have a question
so much,
for Doug?
No, there's so much going on, and people have to keep centered. That's my, you know, don't. I've said this before. Don't be fearful, but Robert's right. Be aware and keep yourself centered. You know, there are things we know things are going to happen. We're not exactly sure when, but be prepared and move forward with positive attitude. You never energize the negative. You know things are going to happen, and be prepared and move forward and trust that things will work out as they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
My 2 cents worth.
Okay, we're going to go to the 850 next and say hello. You're on the air.
This is Michelle again from Florida, and I just had another question. Is, you know, you were talking about, the lady was talking about the nuke bomb going off, and what, how is Florida going to hold up? And I had another question about the water. How do you make sure the water is going to be okay?
When you say the water okay, you mean like the ocean, or are you talking about the drinking water? Whoop, what happened? Did we lose you, Michelle? It looks like you dropped the call here. Okay, give us a call back, and we'll see if we can put you back in the queue. Looks like you did call back right away. Let me try that again. Hi, Michelle, is that you?
Yes, that was me. My phone died, so I plugged it in real quick. But sorry about that.
So
I was asking
talking,
about the,
yeah,
the
thinking,
water
supply. Drinking water supply. Robert, what do you think about that in Florida, the water supply?
It's a broad question, and it has a lot of moving parts to the question. First of all, and this once again refers to an entire show we did some time ago, if you were to look up even online for no charge some of the maps of America after Earth changes, let's say 20, 30 years from now. I don't know the exact dates. I'm not a psychic. I'm just telling you these maps were put together by psychics back about 50 years ago. And so far what we know about the different fault lines in the U.S. suggests that these guys were onto something. In virtually all these maps, Florida, and I love Florida, by the way. I think it's a great state. I like the management of Florida currently. I like all the people who are moving to Florida in droves. I think they're all great people. I'm just really big fan of Florida. But if you look at those maps, it doesn't do great in those maps. So you might have some issues about, you know, water and stuff. So that's all I can say is you should do some research there. As far as your local water supply, the problem is, and this applies all over the world in municipal systems, of course, if you have groundwater or well water, it's another matter, but in terms of municipal systems, if there's enough damage done to the system, then the very careful engineering that keeps the good water good, that's the stuff that comes in, and the bad water bad, that's the stuff that goes out, they can cross over, and suddenly you have no potable water, no usable water anymore. And I've written about this and had discussions with people. To prevent that, a lot of people say, well, I'll just go to the store and buy lots of water and plastic jugs. No, that's not a great solution. First of all, that stuff doesn't last forever, and it's already kind of damaged. People who have done research on what goes on in those plastic jug waters, there's a lot of things growing in there that you basically don't want to have in your house unless it's really an emergency. You're better off with some kind of filtration system so that in an emergency you could get proper water without, you know, relying upon just going to a store, you know, from anywhere. And when you start looking at filtration systems, I don't mean to get too specific, but you asked about it, the three types that I think are worth working with are distilling systems. The technology has gotten, particularly from the Asian companies, has gotten very cheap. When I was a kid, or when Doug was a kid, a good home distiller, water distiller, was very, very expensive. Almost the price of a used car. Now you can get a good system on Amazon for $200, mainly plastic parts.
I got
parts
one.
Okay, you're
one.
A step ahead. Okay, you've got
I
that.
I actually found it at a thrift store.
In terms of systems that work when there's no power, because obviously you need electricity for that, the zero water system, and of course, like Doug, I get no money for mentioning any brand names. It appears through all the independent tests that have been done, it's a unique one-of-a-kind system. Nobody else seems to be in that market. It's a five-stage filter, which basically takes everything that is in the water out. It's like it'll just go after everything. It removes all dissolved solids and apparently does a good job. And it's not expensive. It's $50, $60 system, $15 for the cartridge. If you want to go full bore and you're thinking you might have power problems, there's a famous brand that's probably as old as I am in the U.S. It's called the Big Berkey. It's like a $500 system with cartridges. It's a gravity feed system, so it basically is self-standing. You don't need power to use it. You just need, and according to the tests I've seen, you can pour swamp water in the top, and drinking water comes out the bottom for as long as the filter cartridges last. So those are your three main approaches to water. But if you already have one, then you obviously understand the issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there you go. There's some information on drinking water, and we hope that's helpful. A few more people in the queue here. We have to move on. So take care.
Thank
and
you.
Hope that helps.
Thank you.
Okay. So, again, we have about a few minutes left, and we have several callers here. We'll try to go to a couple and say, help 914. Do we go there yet? Let's try that. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. It's Catherine from New York.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Thank you all. Fascinating show as always.
Oh, you're welcome.
For enjoying it. Yeah. I don't know. I had a few things, and one of the last callers kind of touched on it, too. I was thinking about rain barrel water. Would that be a good thing? Like, I guess put it through a filtration system, though, as well, after collecting it?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. You got a rain barrel. The rain falls on the roof, goes in the gutter, the eaves trough, I should say, goes into the barrel, and it kind of sits there. I don't know, Robert. Do you think you need a water purifier at that point, or do you think that that would be all natural and not so bad? Rainwater is soft water, I think, but what do you think, Robert? I've never had that question before.
Yeah, years ago, long time ago, we were kids or maybe earlier, that was an accepted way of collecting water. You have to go back 100 years or so or before that, pioneers in style. The problem is that the water that's coming down through what used to be called natural systems is heavily infiltrated with the chemtrail spraying. Now, just for clarity, let me just say that some people say that chemtrails are a conspiracy. No, they're not. We've seen pictures. A lot of the pilots, even though it is considered a secret program and not to be shared with the public, a lot of the pilots who are in the air have families, and some of them have released photos of the modified planes that they fly and other information because they feel that what they're being asked to do as part of their job is not safe for their families. And if you do additional research, which most people don't have the time for, you'll see that people in that industry, which is called geoengineering, that's the name of the industry, they have regular conferences. And the question comes up, how can you have regular conferences booked in hotel rooms around the world for a science which is supposed to be just a conspiracy theory? Well, that doesn't make any sense either. The bottom line is that they've been doing this for a number of years. The only time I think they stopped was it sometime during COVID or something. There was some event. Tom Luongo, who's an excellent geopolitical analyst, he's very popular in the U.S. now, and you can pick him up online. He's done interviews where he talks about the fact that the only time they stopped was for a five-day period during the middle of COVID, and for 5 days, everybody in the U.S. had proper weather. The skies were the way they were supposed to be. You could see the sun. There were no clouds. It was quite astonishing. So the short answer to your question is that the pioneer days of being able to trust the rainwater are kind of gone. There's a group of, I believe it's a group of mothers who formed a common cause in California near Mount Shasta. They took a sample of snow on the top of the mountain, and it was contaminated with all kinds of heavy metals. So the point they wanted to make in terms of their public press release was that you can even go to a site that has no human contact with anybody, just the top of a mountain where there's supposedly no activity, and you can just see all the metals that are coming down in the atmosphere. So you do want to put some filtration system in if you're going to do rain barrel, because Mother Nature is not as friendly anymore.
Wow. No, thank you for that. I was also wondering, I remember before spoken about maps, and I came across something that showed an actual flat Earth map, and that Antarctica is just a wall around everything, and there's more untouched land beyond that, and that governments are actually meeting about this or have met. So I was just wondering if you have any information on that you could share.
I'll answer, and then I'll turn it over to Doug, because my goal is someday when we get Dr. Douglas in a good mood, he'll do a full reading on that, because it's very interesting. If nothing else, these flat Earth people have shown that a lot of the mathematics and principles of Earth curvature and so on that they teach you in school for perspective and so on don't really apply. In other words, if you go talk to pilots and ask them what kind of corrections they make for the curvature of the Earth when they're flying on a route, they'll look at you blankly. But just because the science has been misrepresented a little does not mean the Earth is flat and there's a big wall around it. I'm leaning to the fact that the Earth is still more or less as we've seen it. In fact, the mantle of water that makes it a ball, because without the water, the Earth would look really weird. In fact, Douglas asked years ago, he was asking anybody who knew the answer to find a picture of the Earth with no water, and that's pretty hard to find. But I believe, based on what we've read from the legends, the Sumerian legends and other ancient tablets, that the Earth was calved off. It was cut away from something much bigger. It's kind of itself a remnant of something that was much larger. But when from the laws of physics, as we understand it, when something is spinning at the rate the Earth is spinning and also going through on an orbit through the local solar system, it automatically will turn its mantle of water into something resembling a ball shape. So if you were to look at the Earth in space, you are going to see something that looks like a ball. You're not going to see something that looks like a Costco box floating around in space. That's just not going to happen. But beyond that, beyond the assurance I can give you that the centrifugal force of the spinning would create the ball shape, I cannot explain a lot of the anomalies that these people find in their videos and having to do with curvature, perspective, trigonometry. It's all very interesting, and it does suggest that the science that we're taught in school is not 100% accurate. But on that topic, and I've said this before, many of the sciences you're taught in school are not very accurate. Archaeology, history, it's all nonsense. Physics works as far as it works, but the advent of quantum physics, which is barely 30 or 40 years old, shows serious problems with the basic principles of physics, because you have to figure out how quantum physics relates to traditional physics. They're very different sciences. But Stephen Hawking and Albert Einstein, before their death, both said that their greatest frustration was they couldn't figure out gravity. So basically, even now, in the peak of science and great civilization of mankind, we have no clue what gravity is. Is it magnetism? Is it something else? Is it a push, which pushes down from the upper atmosphere? Or is it a pull? Does something in the core of the Earth pull us down? We don't have a clue. So a lot of the science that we learn is just wrong. Just completely wrong. So why shouldn't the idea of curvature and linearity and all that be wrong too? But it is interesting. One day we'll get Dr. Doug, we'll get him drunk, and we'll do a proper reading.
And I should say something that I actually do have a picture, a representation of the Earth without water, and I showed it to my friends. They had no idea what it was. Absolutely no idea.
It looks like a dog bone or something, right? It's a cinder kind of thing.
It's very, very irregular. Incredibly mm-hmm. irregular.
It's been hit. The Earth is a remnant of a much larger planetary body that was decimated. It found its own orbit. It ended up with its own moon. But the story we were told is not quite the way it was. This is a very unusual planet with very unusual life and a very, very strange history going back hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years.
So that means we are unusual beings.
Yep, we're unusual. I referenced the work of, in a previous show, I believe I mentioned Alex Collier. He's one of my favorite sources. He's still around. He's been doing, he was a contactee from a group not from this area, if you get my meaning in quotes. And he has been for 30 years relaying information he got from the contacts he had, which is extremely good information, very, very scientifically verifiable. And as far as he's concerned, and what I like most about Alex, aside from his vibe, he has a very positive, helpful vibe about him, unlike some of the people in the field, is that when you ask him a question and he doesn't know, he'll look you in the eye and say, I don't know. They never discussed that with me. I don't know the answer to your question. I'm not Mr. Know-it-all. I'm only repeating what I was told at great length. What he said consistently over the 30-year period of his lectures, again, that's Alex Collier, is that the current species of human being on this planet, now there's been others, and Doug Cottrell has mentioned that there was four or five previous attempts to get this planet going, and they all failed. We're the last sort of big experiment in getting this planet moving. But the current species of human on this planet has had 22 cultures from away, again in quotes, from not here, making alterations and experiments, were the result of 22 attempts to interfere with our genetic code by 22 different species. And he keeps repeating that number over and over. So we have a very colorful background.
Well, there you go. Okay, Catherine, how's that?
Thank you. Yes, excellent, excellent. Thank you so much again, all of you, for sharing your knowledge and journey. Thank you. I appreciate you all. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for being part of the show again. You take care.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Okay. Well, we're a little bit over time, but do you feel like going for a couple more calls, Robert?
Sure.
All right, that's great. We've gone through the list. We got one more here in the 850 area. Oh, last one. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. What was I going to ask you?
How about your first name and location,
Florida.
Please?
Michelle from Florida. I was just listening, but I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and ask the question.
Why not?
Okay. Yeah, why not? You know, I didn't quite understand that about Florida. Will the nuclear radiation reach to Florida?
Again, I'll make an attempt. Nuclear radiation, the amazing thing about it is it reaches all over the world. You can have a nuclear blast in one part of the world, and a certain percentage of that radiation will show up in snow in the other part of the world. That's just the way the game is played. This stuff lasts forever. And if you think you want to worry about nuclear radiation now, you should keep in mind that the Fukushima event, which happened, 10, 15 years ago, I lost track, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, the Japanese government officially gave permission to the poor souls who were tasked with trying to maintain whatever they can of the mess over there. For many years, they've been begging the Japanese government for permission to empty all the radioactive water they have no place to put directly into the Pacific Ocean. And but 3-4 weeks ago, the Japanese government finally relented and said, sure, go ahead, why not? So not only is the radiation traveling all over the air into your lungs and into mountaintops and places you can't even imagine, but it's going to find its way into every kind of living thing in the ocean and thing you might eat from the ocean and water you might drink from somewhere. So, yeah, this is our species is evolving, even as we talk right now, into a species that is attempting to tolerate higher and higher degrees of radiation because we humans, adult humans, can't seem to control our impulse to kill ourselves. That's just one more thing you can add to your worry list on top of all these bad people trying to do all kinds of horrible things to you. It's just one, and with the killer, what are they, the killer wasps, if I got that right, did I mix up?
Killer wasps.
These are murder wasps, that's what they're called. About 3 years ago, they found this new species of wasp that wasn't merely dangerous, it actually formed bands and went into other species and murdered them all in their beds. Or whatever the equivalent of a bed is, if you're a similar insect, and it wasn't happy until it destroyed everything in its path. You can look it up on Google, murder wasps. So just add that to the list of other crazy things out there. But the real problem is always going to be people. Your real enemy is always going to have a face. It's somebody out there who woke up and said, "Wouldn't it be great if?" There was a story just this week on one of the wire services. It actually went around. It got more exposure than these stories usually do. It was some university somewhere. They had purchased one of these gene splicing machines. A gene splicing machine is not like, splicing meats or splicing film. It's a whole different kind of splicing. And whether people should be able to buy one to monkey around, I'm not sure I agree with that. But anyway, they bought a gene splicing machine. They got their scientists together. And they took a poor, innocent little hamster, and they decided to monkey around with the genes that ordinarily occur in the hamster to try and get them to be more social. And they explained in great detail in the multiple versions of this article. I saw the same version appearing all over the internet in different sources. They thought they were producing more sociable hamster, as if hamsters aren't friendly enough all by themselves. I've always found them quite friendly and easy to get along with. And instead, they ended up with a genetic result was a hamster that tried to kill a male hamster that tried to kill and murder every other hamster you put near it. And they commented, we got our facts wrong. Our theory wasn't correct. These are the same people, by the way, who want to start experimenting with humans. And in fact, and I'm not going to get in trouble for saying this, the vaccine program that they put in the hundreds of millions was basically a similar gene-altering vaccine. That was not a traditional vaccine. That was a gene-altering vaccine. So if they couldn't get it right with a hamster, you just answer that question on your own.
Yeah, but it was the Monday hamster. They never trust experiment on Monday. You know, I mean, people are sluggish after the weekend. You gotta get the midweek experiments going, Robert. You know, like the cars. You know, never buy a car.
Never buy one made. Never buy a car made on Monday. They just got back from the crazy weekend. God, that's an old joke. God, that's old. That's 50, 60, 70 years old.
I know, and this is the old adage, you know, that scientists never pay attention to. Just because something can be done doesn't necessarily mean it should be done. And, of course, we mentioned before it was my favorite topic to mention, and this is the when they exploded the first atomic bomb, and they were really concerned that it might engulf the whole world. But they did it anyway.
Yeah, they did it anyway. That's...
They didn't know if it was going to burn up the atmosphere around the world, and they did it anyway. Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know if we have time, but I have a comment, which I'll forget probably. One of the most interesting Casey readings, there are a lot of Edgar Casey readings that never really see the light of day because they're just so obscure, people don't even understand what he was talking about. And it's not unusual if you spend time reading them, but he's still the gold standard for this stuff. So Edgar Casey described one of the three destructions of Atlantis as involving an attempt to drill right into the core of the Earth to try and harness energy there, and it backfired and basically created one of the big destructions of the planet. And that was all he had in the reading, and nobody followed up on it, so it kind of sits there in the archive. And then I came across a session done 10 years ago by a group called the Farsight Institute. The Farsight Institute was put together by one of the trainers who trained the U.S. government for 20 years between 1980 and 1999 on remote viewing. And he's still around. He's still living. He still has a. He's still keeping his institute going. And in those days, a lot of the work they did was free. Now, not so much. But in those days, 10 years ago, it was free. So he got curious about a target, remote viewers. What Doug Cottrell does includes remote viewing. He's way beyond that. But what these guys do is they train their minds to go to map sites. You just have to give them coordinates, longitude and latitude, and bang, they're off there. They can even go back in time. But again, Doug does that and then some. But what they had done is they had located through a satellite map some kind of structure at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. It just showed up on the satellite barely. And they figured, well, why not? You know, let's find out what's down there. So they gave those coordinates to three or four of their top remote viewers, and they said, go back in time and see what that was. And they found that it was part of the Atlantean continent, which is okay. But they went further because they were seeing things, as Doug does, in their minds that went back in history. They said, we see people with the equivalent of clipboards. Not clipboards. They're like clipboards. They're scientists. They're wearing a kind of uniform like a scientist. They're watching instruments and gauges. They're drilling into the center of the Earth. These people didn't know anything about Edgar Cayce. They were not briefed. They were just seeing whatever they saw. They're drilling and drilling and drilling at some kind of machine. They're going right into the core. And oh my God, every one of them is panicking. They're running around like they can't believe what went wrong. And all the remote viewers in their individual attempts to see this said that whatever what's happening is so extraordinary, we have to change our perspective. We can't even look at this at ground level. It's so huge. We have to go up into the sky and look down. The explosion, the catastrophe is so enormous, it's literally cutting the planet in half. And they basically unintentionally, without anybody realizing it, you'd have to know a lot about Cayce and so on to get what they were doing. They basically described in real time, like on a newscast, this attempt to drill into the core of the Earth, exactly as Cayce had described in this reading that nobody ever understood.
Interesting.
Follow-up question?
Yeah.
No, it's very interesting what he just said.
Yeah, I know. It's brain jarring, right? It's kind of like, oh, my God. Well, again, there are people who do things with the will of governments that are somewhat shady, somewhat unknown, and they have caused disasters here, of course. And we're our own worst enemy, I think. I think Russia's about to test a new bomb next week, or somebody is. And I always feel a little protective of the planet, and I think when we set off these nuclear explosions, especially these ones underground, what if it ignited all the gas natural gas and or crude oil underneath the surface, and that traveled from one continent to the other? What if? No, people don't think that way. I don't know. It just boggles my mind is that people would think, we're going to set up a bomb here, we're going to put a big hole and we're going to blow it up underground so it doesn't blow up the atmosphere, but it's okay, we're going to put this gigantic shock through the planet. I don't think that it's going to be unnoticed. I think the planet's going to hiccup or do something, and there's going to be some repercussion. Maybe it's going to move a tectonic plate somewhere, maybe it's going to open up a lava flow somewhere. I don't think that the planet can continue taking these gigantic experimental bombs. Never mind the real ones are going off. I'm just going
to. Well, my understanding. Sorry, if you look at the and actually study the explosions, nuclear explosions that they did in the Earth, on the diametrically opposite side of the Earth, it always causes a reaction, some sort of seismic disturbance or volcano, and it doesn't just go away. It's damaging the other side of the Earth.
Mm-hmm. So there you go, Michelle. Thank you very much for your question. Hope that's helpful.
Well, thank you. I love listening to you guys, as always.
Okay. Well, we're going to be the last caller of the evening. We're over time already, and we'll say thank you very much for coming on the show. We'll see you next time. Okay, guys, we're over time a little bit. We've still got a couple people, I think, in the queue. One person more just logged on, I believe. We apologize. We're over time anyway. It's been another dynamite show where we've covered a lot of ground as usual. So where is the world headed? Well, my latest input from different sources and my own vision, dreams, revelation dreams, is that something is coming that is going to be, you know, shortages of a gigantic means. Stock up, not trying to scare anybody, but let's be practical. You know, have things for three months, 6 months. Some organizations have been in religious views or other places, they've got a year's supply of food ahead. But be prepared for season to season, you know, like try to get out of debt as much as you can. That is the next great evil. My dream this yesterday morning was that my vision was that there was, unbelievably as this is going to sound, but there were tourists on the North Pole. And there were groups of tourists who were going to the North Pole, and they were attempting to contact the local people there living at the North Pole who were going to take them to specifically the point where the North Pole existed so that the people could stand right on the North Pole and the magnetic fields or the magnetic lines would go right through them as they would stand on the pole. The trouble is that the North Pole kept moving around, and so they needed the local people to tell them where it was. Okay. Now, as we know, the North Pole currently, the magnetic North Pole, is somewhere north of Canada in the Canadian Arctic Ocean. So there is no land. But in my vision this morning, or yesterday morning, there was a large land. No snow, no ice. It was dry land. No vegetation, no trees. Just like a greenish brown, more brown than green, tundra. Okay. So I thought immediately when I woke up, this isn't the North Pole. This is the South Pole, meaning Antarctica, which is a large landmass. And, of course, there would be the magnetic South Pole would be moving around a little bit because we know the magnetic poles north and south do move. They move as much as they used to it with pilot corrections. They would move anywhere between 5 and 15 degrees at any given time. Now they seem to be moving at 40 kilometers or so away, and the North Pole seems to be headed towards the Bering Strait. Okay, that said, back to the vision or the dream. So analyzing this, could it be that the North Pole in the dream maybe has inverted itself and it's in the South Pole? Now, the South Pole would be the North Pole. This would make sense that there would be a large landmass that people could walk on and take tours. And there'd be no snow, which would mean that the South Pole Antarctica ice cap had been completely melted away. However, the locals... As far as I know, there's no indigenous people on the South Pole or Antarctica. And that didn't make sense because they would have to interject into the dream that the North Pole was not really the North Pole, it was in the South Pole. So what's the next best bet? Well, the clue is that the North Pole was moving around. What if the North Pole, magnetic, moved, maybe not magnetic, maybe it would be the axis pole as well as the... You know, the geographical pole as well as the magnetic pole, but let's just stick with the magnetic one pole for this idea. What if it moved over to Greenland? The magnetic North Pole would be in Greenland because Greenland now has inhabitants. The ice shield or the ice cap on Greenland is well on its way to completely being melted away. And there are tours now where people are actually going to Greenland and walking around in places that used to be under glaciers. So my dream this morning would be that the magnetic North Pole is going to move on over, this is my best interpretation, to Greenland. I'm not sure what the magnetic South Pole would be. Would that be in someplace in Argentina or someplace in the Pacific Ocean? I'm not sure. But this is an indication of the future where this amazing event of the magnetic pole shift is going to occur. And it's going to be gigantic from the middle of Canada and the north part where the North Pole is now to move all the way east to Greenland. That would be one of those gigantic, oh my God, situations happening. I'm not sure what that would do for the navigational situation and all the other situations that go with a magnetic compass. Tours of the North Pole and Greenland. Think about that, my friends. Okay, so summarizing, be prepared. Try to get yourself into some financial equilibrium. Get out of debt. Credit cards are the new slavery. Once you get into that or seduced into those huge debt loads, especially with inflation coming along now, there is going to be hardship like there was 1982 to 1986, which were the worst financial years I ever went through. This is going to lead to a collapse of the housing market. It's going to lead to disruptions in banking. It's going to have a huge effect adversely or negatively on the economy. Okay? So look out, watch out, but don't be frightened. Be practical. Be prepared. Do these little things we've talked about. And remember, I could be right or I could be wrong. But we're certainly headed towards high inflationary areas. John Lepak's dream about gas going up to over $6.50 is happening now in California, and it's happening here in Canada. We're paying now $8 a gallon for gasoline right here, right now, or thereabouts. Stay tuned to the show, and we'll kind of give you an open door to what we see and what we foresee coming. And with experts like Robert Appel and my co-host Doug Bentley, we'll try to stick handle through this time of uncertainty. Remember, you're not alone. Take that away from the show. You're not alone. These things have been predicted. That means they're supposed to happen. And if they're supposed to happen, that means there's a solution to what's happening. And ultimately, it will be for the greater good of humanity. Really appreciate you being on the show again, Robert. Lots of people listening in to your vast information from just about that. There hasn't been a question as people have asked you that you haven't been able to answer, except those intuitive ones. But other than that, you've been pretty good.
He's always good.
My last comment for the show is that this is really for the listeners in Texas. The magnetic pole will never cross into Canada because the magnetic pole has a carry permit and won't give up its guns.
Makes sense to me. How about that one where you go across the border, you get a coupon, 10% off any machine gun, bazooka, whatever. No, I'm kidding, folks. Anyway, yeah. Good to be on the show, Robert. Last word.
As you said, the only hope we have is to keep our eyes open, be alert, and don't just sit there like a lump, because they rely upon that. Literally, the people who mean you bad, who do not mean you well, they rely upon your tendency to do nothing. And that's where the problem is.
Yeah. Do nothing and keep quiet. Yeah. Just complain about everything, but don't do anything about it. And just keep complaining or suffering, like keep taking it on the chin. You're absolutely right. So the way to expose that is to speak up and to do something about it, even if you're wrong. Better do something than nothing. Good point, Robert. Well, on that note, my friend, thank you for being on the show. And again, thanks, Robert, for being there. You're listening to the Global Village Radio Network being broadcast worldwide out of London, Ontario, Canada. To all my friends across the world, listen in on the show in your own time zone. Please send an email. Let us know how we're doing in your part of the world. And if you have any topics or suggestions for shows, that's for anybody who's listening, feel free to send them to info@douglasjamescottrell.com. Remember my website, douglasjamescottrell.com. We have books for sale. I think some of them are discounted right now. Certainly consultations are discounted. And you're free to call, if you'd like to call directly, 519-471-1110. Email info@douglasjamescottrell.com. Or go to the website, DouglasJamesCottrell.com and explore the website. There's an awful lot of information there. Also on our podcast, The Wake Up, we're doing well. You might want to look for that on the major platforms for podcasts. And also you can get to the podcast through our website. I'm Douglas James Cottrell. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you right here next week, same time and same station. To everybody, may God bless you with health, wealth, and peace of mind. We look forward to seeing you real soon. Good night.
Why should you join us in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th? Just listen to a couple of Hope Conference attendees.
Thank you, Douglas, for the conference, the Hope Conference. It was amazing. I learned so much. This Hope Conference really culminated in everything I needed to really hone in on, and I know what my life purpose is, and I really thank all of you, every one of you.
Hi, Douglas. I want to thank you for having this conference here. I learned a lot, especially about dreams. I definitely plan on taking your advice, writing down all my dreams. All your staff was very helpful, very friendly, and I'm looking forward to the next conference. We'll see what happens. Thank you very much.
During this impactful three-day conference, you'll be guided through a series of sessions including dream interpretation and future predictions. The Great Shift. The increasing sense of impending changes and human transformation. Virtue spirit healing, the power of auras, chakras, and creating an open mind to your spiritual gifts, plus additional guest speakers and guided meditation. Go now to hopeconferences.org, that's hopeconferences.org, for your ticket and a don't miss event. And we'll see you in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.